like that, it's a disappointment. But he's coming. Amen. Should I turn this on, or are you guys good? All right.
Maybe now it's on. Is it on? Can you hear me? All right. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be saved. That's the understatement of the evening, the understatement of the week. Take your Bible tonight and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. We had a good meeting in Hastings. And they send, Brother Grissom and Berean Bible Baptist Church sends their greetings. Brother Magnuson's here tonight, as a matter of fact. And they thank you for your prayers and support for that meeting, and assured me that they will be in prayer for this meeting, and don't be surprised if you see some of them come. What a thing. What a good thing it is when churches work together. Because like the brother already said, we're already in a minority. And that's okay, though. But it's a blessing when we can pray for one another, appreciate one another. And I'm glad I got to get in on something like that. Something real. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 8. And Peter writes to him, he says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind." There you go. That's what I was talking about. "Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days." Now we're going to stop right there for a moment. And that thing there, it says, "For he that will love life." And I've got to say, I'm ready to go. I'm looking forward to going. I know where I'm going. But I got to say, I'm enjoying life. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And I see that verse, and I think of the context being on the other side. It's beyond our comprehension. And I like studying it, reading about it in Revelation. And then I like the fact that as good as I think it'll be or beautiful, or it's better than that. I like that. This world's the opposite. You try to have a positive attitude, and you get shot down. Amen. Especially people that strive without Christ in the forefront of their life. I know this for a fact. Whatever it is that you think is important, if Jesus Christ is not in the equation, I mean, on this side of Calvary, I mean, for saved people, whatever it is that you think is important, if the Lord isn't in that thing, it'll never be what you thought it was. Amen. That's why the eyes of man are never satisfied, and we keep striving, and I tell you, there's rest and comfort and just in walking with the Lord. And so praise the Lord for our opportunity to be here this week. I got to say, I never would have imagined in a million years, trillion years. They used to say million. Now they say trillion. What happened there? I don't know. But I never would have imagined the life that I have now in Jesus Christ, married to a faithful, sold-out, beautiful wife that wants to, that looks forward to traveling as much as I do, going church to church. I got the best friends in the world. I would have never saw this coming. Amen. Of course, I didn't think I'd get out of jail, but amen. So I like the life. It says, "For he that will love life and see good day." Now, let me say something about days. Good ones are my favorite kind. Yes, I understand. I understand. Yeah. We go through some stuff. We can handle some stuff. But if you get right down to the end of it, I just got to say, Paul might have gloried in persecuting infirmities, but personally, me, I like smooth sailing. Amen. And sometimes it's not that way. That's okay. Amen. But, when Paul Harvey used to sign off saying, good day, I just wanted to say amen. Because, again, those are my favorite kind. Anybody concur? I mean, surely we're not so spiritual that, we're hoping that a plane crashes on the building. Amen. I like good day. So I want to start the meeting. I haven't been briefed and all that. I want to start the meeting. I asked the Lord what to preach, so I want to start on this thought. Have a good day. Have a good day. There's a Bible formula for a good day in 1 Peter 3, and that's what I want to preach on tonight. And here's what I say for a few minutes, and you hope that's true. Amen. But it's not. Father, we do come to you once again in the name of Jesus Christ, and thank you, God, for the blood. Thank you for the love, care. Thank you for being mindful of us to the degree that you sent your only begotten Son to make a way for us to be forgiven. I still, that boggles my mind, but I'm sure happy about it. I'm glad of it, and I pray that somehow my life shows that I am grateful, and I pray that for all of us. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that we're indebted to you. More than we can comprehend. And Father, because you don't make us serve you, sometimes the flesh gets the upper hand. And when we have meetings like this on occasion, we have church weekly, and we have a Bible that, Lord willing, we open on a regular basis, real regular, like 7 days a week, to keep that flesh from gaining ground that you went to the cross to win back for us. So I pray tonight that you'd help me to work through these verses as you lead me, I pray. And may it be a good, maybe true to be able to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And the needs are many, and I don't know them, and I couldn't do anything about them if I did. I can't even take care of my own needs, Lord. We are entirely dependent upon thee. And we happily confess that as we lay our burdens down and pray that you speak to us in such a way that'll make them lighter. And maybe some of them even disappear tonight as we sincerely try to do business with you for the glory of Jesus Christ and for our sakes. And we pray it all in his precious and majestic name. Amen and amen. All right, so it says, for he that will love light. Is anybody else like that? I mean, are life going okay for you? Okay, just me. Okay, well, all right. Amen. You need to be here every night for sure. Amen. And see good days. So let me say number one, and we're going to finish the verse now. And it says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Now we're talking about Bible formula for a good day. And so just let me admonish you first and foremost tonight to be real mindful of your conversation. Of your conversation, it said, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Now that word refrain means to hold back, to restrain, and to keep from action. And that's pretty important. I mean, imperative, rather. The Bible talks more about the sins of the tongue than a lot of things that we'd rather emphasize. Matter of fact, the things that we like to emphasize the most are the things that we don't struggle with or we already have victory over. But boy, that thing with the tongue comes up a lot of times, Old Testament, New Testament. Matter of fact, James chapter 3 and verse 5 says this, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. All right? You want to have a good day, he says, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Now, I remember as a young Christian one time, my pastor got in a pulpit. He's wrapping up on Sunday morning, and he said, now, everybody be back here tonight, 6 o'clock, and I'm going to preach on the wickedest member of Charity Baptist Church. That little church that sent somebody to jail to find me 26 years ago. It's a church I've been a member of ever since, all right? And I was pretty sure I was up there in the top 10, but when he said that, I wasn't aware that I was in any trouble. So when he said he was going to preach on the wickedest absolutely the wickedest member of the church. I was looking for it because I was pretty sure it wasn't me that time anyway. I kind of glanced around and some people were smiling and some people were like nervous. And I would make sure I was going to be there because I wanted to see who he was talking about. And so what he did was he got in the pulpit for his message on Sunday night, and he had a shoebox. And he set that shoebox on the pulpit, and it wasn't very long, and he turned to James chapter 1, and he started talking about that tongue, and he opened the lid, and he reached in, and he pulled out a cow's tongue. Now listen, I'm a firm believer in this. Beef. It's what's for dinner, okay? Like all them other things, those are to space out the beef. That's the way I think of it. But I never had any idea that tongue on a cow was that long. Amen. It was big. And he had all the kids in the front two rows. And, of course, that's where I sat, kind of think of it. And he grabbed that tongue, and he started preaching on there. It said, even so, the tongue is a little member. And he started waving it at the children, and they're all freaking out. And I'm laughing, and I thought it was pretty good. You know, the Lord says there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. But boy, if there's an area that we seem to struggle with, amen, often, more often, too often, that's why I'm preaching on it tonight. It says in James chapter 3 and verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, it says no man. You know, in John 14 and verse 6 there, Jesus says, no man cometh unto the Father, but by me. We like to say, no man means what it says. It means no man. And it does. And it means the same thing right here, too. So I don't know how, matter how spiritual you think you are, or how much progress you've made, or how much victory you've got, you think you've got a handle on that tongue, you think you don't have to watch that tongue, you think you can have a good day and let that thing wag and get involved in conversation. It shouldn't. The only person you're fooling is yourself. The Bible formula for a good day starts out like this: let him refrain his tongue from evil. You want to have a good day? That's my advice to you tonight. And the verse doesn't stop there, does it? It goes on and finishes with these words, and they both have to do with that conversation. And it says this, and his lips, that they speak no guile. No guile. I'm trying to think if I ever heard that word before I got saved. Yeah, I mean, we didn't ride around and on our motorcycles and then congregate at the clubhouse and use words like edify and guile. There's words, they've been around a long time, but they're Bible words. Amen. So I'm going to help you in case you didn't know that. The word guile means craft, cunning, artifice, as in artificial. I didn't look it up, but I was tempted. Duplicity, deceit. Amen. That it says, and his lips that they speak no guile. You know, we say, well, you know, the truth and nothing but the truth. Sometimes we just give enough information that we can be deceptive without being caught in a lie. I'm going to tell you what, be careful. Hope there's no used car salesman in here tonight. Be real careful with that, not giving the whole story, because you might fall under that, under the definition of guile. Amen. Now, you know, do what you want to do. I'm trying to help you have a good day. If adjustments need to be made to your conversation, well, then that's what the altar's for. And I hope you make some adjustments. It says this in Psalm 39, verse 1, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Now, take note that he said, I will take heed to my way. You know when we get in trouble? You know where we have problems? When we don't. When we don't take heed to our ways. Amen. That's where we have problems. In the context of the verse, has to do with the tongue. So, listen, if you want to have a good day, perhaps, maybe some of you, maybe some are more prone than others, maybe you need to learn to bridle your mouth. Amen. Let me tell you something about the day and age. When I grew up, that's how people communicated. Amen. By talking. But boy, these days, let your fingers do the walking doesn't apply to the Yellow Pages anymore. Yeah, and people are typing on their little email and texting and all that all the time. And I'm going to tell you something. You want to have a good day? You might learn to bridle your fingers. I was thinking about this. Maybe a good thing to take around and put on my table back there where I have CDs and books, by the way. And maybe I'll get me a good deal on mittens. Because, yeah, I'm just thinking about it. I know some Christians, they do well to bridle her. I mean, they need to clip, because they, you know what I'm trying to talk about? Listen. That social media, I know people that have been in so much trouble, they just think that they can critique the whole body of Christ from the obscurity of a little Facebook page or whatever you want to call it, whatever it is you use. And like I say, with vague subtlety, guile, and then next thing you know, they're in the pastor's office. They're, well, they took it wrong. No, probably not. And some of you have probably been there too. Not asking for a show of hands. If I thought I'd get one, I probably would ask, but I'm not. So, amen. So I'm trying to help you with something tonight. If you want to have a good day, you might learn to, I mean, really take heed to what comes out of your mouth. And then, well, now that we're big communicators with our devices, you know, the Bible says that we're not ignorant of His devices. I wonder if the devil's got a smartphone and a tablet and a... Okay, all right. Next thing you know, we'll be in trouble. Amen. But, amen. It says this in Psalm 50 and verse 23, Whoso offereth praise, glorifieth me. And to him that, watch this, ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Ordereth his conversation. You know what that means? That means you are responsible for what comes out of your mouth, and if you can't control it, shut it. Amen. How's that? And you know, maybe that means your fingers too. I told a lady one time, man, she's in some trouble. I said, you know what you ought to do? If you think everything thought that comes into your mind is so important, and you start typing. And then maybe what I would suggest is maybe you type that thing up and sit on it for 24 hours. A lot of things look different the next day. Amen. Probably keep her out of some trouble. Might keep some of you out of trouble. You want to have a good day? I'm trying to help you tonight. Bible formula for a good day has to do, first thing that he mentions, amen, has to do with conversation. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Number two, look in verse 11. It says this, it says, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Amen. Not the next part of the formula has to do with conduct. Has to do with conduct. Amen. Let him eschew evil. There's another one of them words I never heard at the clubhouse in the old days. Now, the first time I ever saw it, I guess, heard it preached, probably was a reference to Job chapter 1. In verse number 1, the Bible says this, there was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. All right, now, by the context, Ray Charles can see that it's something not good. Amen? It means, and so what eschewed means is to abstain or to keep away from, shun or avoid. You want to have a good day? The verse says, let him eschew evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 22 says this, abstain from all appearance of evil. What does that mean? If it can be taken wrong, it will be. I mean, mark it down. Everybody's familiar with Murphy's Law, you know. Anything that can go wrong will. And then the second part, Mrs. Murphy's Law, is this, and at the worst possible time, because that just sounds like something a wife would say, you know. It didn't just go wrong. I mean, it couldn't have went wrong at a worse time. But Murphy's Law for a Christian is, if you don't watch your testimony, you'll end up being somebody's excuse for going astray or maybe rejecting Jesus Christ altogether. And that's why it says all appearance. It's not like, well, in my opinion. See, that's your problem. We are Bible believers. This is not my opinion, Baptist Church. Amen. And they're probably all over the land, truth be known. But, amen, we're Bible believers, and it said all appearance. And here's what I want to say. Johnny Cash had that song, I Walk the Line. Listen, I'm trying to tell you something. You better quit walking the line between good and evil. I know you're saved. Jesus loves you. I get all that. Amen. But I'm trying to help you have a good day. I'm trying to point something out. Maybe the Holy Spirit will put his finger on, now that we've slowed down and probably toned down the activity in our lives and have gathered together in a place where we've already prayed it. I hope it is your heart's desire to have the Lord speak to your heart about it. Some surely you didn't come to a meeting that's been on the schedule for months thinking, okay, let's see what this guy's got. Maybe I'll take notes on his outline and give him some pointers after and show him some things that he missed. Guy come to me and says, well, Brother Spurgeon, that message, you know, you went down this road and followed. Did you ever think of this verse? How and that verse could have fit in there, you know? And when we're working on a message, probably the biggest temptation is not to preach every verse that comes into your mind. And I said, no, I didn't think about that, but let me add something, pal. Did you hear anything I did say, or did you just hear stuff I didn't say? And I wonder if that's why we need revival, because we got so much Bible in us, we've heard so much good preaching, we got so many preconceived notions, we forget that we gather around in a place like this because we want God to speak to us. Want to have a good day? Amen. He said, let him eschew evil. Let him eschew evil and do good. Hello. Amen. Hello. It says in Galatians 6 and verse 10, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It says especially. It doesn't say exclusively. All right? Let me give you another verse. First Thessalonians 5:15 said this. Paul writing it, gun barrel straight, doctrinal to all you guys, hyper guys. See that none render evil for evil to any man, but ever follow that which is good, all right, both among yourselves and to all men. So the common theme in that verse, you want to have a good day? The common theme in that verse is not just do good, it is unto all men. I mean, you want to have a good day? The Bible says we're to do good to everybody. Now, you've got your list, you know, of people you don't care if they go to hell or not. Well, that's what your actions show. Amen? We've all got, listen, I got things I don't like, man, a long list of them. But I'm going to tell you something. I got a Bible that tells me to be mindful to, as a child of God for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Listen, we're not in a clique. We're not in a clan. This isn't a club. This isn't that kind of thing. This is bigger than all that. You want to have a good day, it says eschew evil and do good. And it said let him seek peace and ensue it. And that word ensue means to follow after or to pursue. And I know this to be true. If you don't look for peace, I'm talking about even if you're saved. In this world, like we prayed, in this world, if you don't look for it, if you don't seek it, you ain't going to find it. You ain't going to find it. So if you want to have a good day, well, there's some responsibility has to do with your conduct. Maybe you better make a point to eschew evil and ensue peace. You having a good day so far? I am. Amen. Because I'm just glad the Lord addresses stuff. We don't need any more psychobabble. We don't need any more psychology. We just need... see what the Bible says and try to apply it and And you're not even going to be able to get away with that without sincerely asking God to help you. And that's what makes this supernatural. That's what the difference between being a Bible believer and a real Bible believer and just being a religionist. Amen? Religion would have kept my attention 26 days, let alone 26 years. But I'm going to tell you what, I have seen God do great and mighty things. And I was out there a long time, almost 38 years before I got saved. And I seen what the devil's putting out, and I seen the man, best man had to offer. And God trumps that stuff without breaking a sweat on a regular basis. And I mean, I am still captivated by the lovely Lord and motivated to try to show him my gratitude by trying to stay right with him. It worked for me. All right, number three. Now, number three, and we're going to look at verse 12. Look what it says. Now, the first thing had to do with conversation. And then it had to do with conduct. But this has to do with contact. Verse number 12 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So if you ever want to preach a message on how to have a bad day, then you use the second part of the verse. Because I'll tell you what, to have the face of the Lord against you is to have a bad day. But I don't want to blow the story here. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. You want to have a good day? Keep in contact. Keep in contact with the Lord. He wants to hear from you. He likes to hear from you. Here's a novel idea. He likes to hear from you when you're not in trouble. Yeah, he likes to hear from you when things are doing good, going well. He likes to hear from you and that just remind him that you know you need his help to make any difference at all in a lost and dying world, whether it's lead your family, minister to your children, or let alone have a testimony for Christ. We need him. Amen. He knows it. Why is it? You know, it says in Psalm 103, it says, "He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." You know what our problem is? We clean up, get our hair cut, get nice clothes, take a bath, learn to quit going places, doing things, talking like we used to. Got a little Bible tucked under our arm. We start thinking we're way more than we are. You know what our problem is? We forget that we are dust. Any good thing comes out of any of us, any good deed, it is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to bring an old tattooed federal convicted felon bike gang member to travel around the country to remind Christians that it's all about him. Hey, you know that. You know that. You need to know that. How do you keep reminded of that? You stay humble. You stay in contact with the Lord. David longed for fellowship. He said in Psalm 63, "O God, thou art my God." Can you say that tonight? Amen. Can you say, "Is he your God?" Amen. Okay, I'm not even asking if you're saved. Is he your God? Is he your Lord? Is he your master? David said, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Somebody mentioned already, buddy, we are in a wasteland. There is a dearth in the land for the word of God. Dry and thirsty land, spiritually speaking, seems to be pretty appropriate. And the answer is to long for God, thirst for God. And he says, "My flesh." And boy, my spirit does, but my flesh is the biggest problem I have. Guess what? Biggest problem you got too. Amen. I mean, you don't make a point to pursue this line of thought here, to follow this formula. You might think you're having a good day, but the best day of all is the day that the Lord can bless. And let me say to you, it's important to stay in contact. And I've noticed this. I've noticed this. If you're in constant contact with the Lord, you'll have a good day no matter what happens. When everything is going wrong, I've seen people go through horrible situations with more joy in their life than people that, I have a hangnail and now my whole day is ruined. And I've seen people sit in the emergency room and in hospice and places like that with a peace, because if you're in contact with the Lord like we need to be, it just gets better from here. Amen. Your flesh will never remind you of that. Ever. All right. So, have a good day. That's the title. That's the message. That's the thought. That's the attempt. That's the desire tonight to give you some things out of here on that subject. And so, number one had to do with conversation. And number two had to do with, I forgot already, conduct. It's going to be a long week for all of us. And then number three had to do with contact. Could I encourage you to stay in contact with the Lord? Let me ask you, was anybody remotely under the misconception that this was a three-point message? Is anybody thinking like we're getting out early tonight? Don't worry, covers will be open when you get down. Amen. Verse 13. Verse 13. We're talking about how to have a good day. Hey, I'll quit when the Bible does. Oh, he's going to preach through Revelation 22. No, it says this, verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? You know what? You want to have a good day? I tell you what, you need to maintain your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Most things in this world will let you down at some point. Isn't it good to be able to put your confidence in someone that won't ever? I mean, only one person's batting 1,000, but that's enough. Isn't it good to know that the Lord won't change his mind? I mean, he knew what he was getting. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God committed his love toward us in it while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't it good to be able to put your confidence in the Lord who when you do some stupid thing, yeah, that's right, guilty, when you do, that the Lord won't say, man, can you believe that? I can't believe I saved him. He doesn't even think like that. Amen. I tell you what, that makes me want to get right. The thinking that God not only went to the cross for the wicked sinner I was, the thought to me that blood, amen, applied, covers the stupid stuff I've done since I got saved. Boy, that makes me even marvel at his grace even more. Love him. What you do in ignorance is one thing. But boy, I'll tell you what, Christians, I travel, man, we're going, we haven't stopped. I don't think I've not preached two Sundays since I was here 2 weeks ago. I mean, we're at it. You know what I see? I see Christians all over the country, amen, that are, aren't where they should be. Some of them put their confidence in the wrong thing. You want to have a good day? Amen. Yours better be in him, not in you. I remember early on, first couple years out saved, I'm on federal probation, I'm going to Bible Institute. How convenient. We happen to have one at our church. Didn't cost anything. And I got a federal judge's permit to leave the Southern District of Ohio anyway. I guess I'll go to Bible school, you know. And then I didn't go to prison. And then another year. It's almost like God knew what he was doing. I don't know. But I remember a preacher preaching on the Lord. And after a service one night, I said, can I talk to you? And I went down to the office, and I said, you know, whatever it was he was going through, I said, the more I learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, the more I realize how much he loves me, the more I realize how much I owe him, the more afraid I am that I'm going to fail him. Because, see, I know me. And I was about 42 then, and he said, David, Hold that thought right there. Hold that thought, and you'll probably be all right. He said the ones that are long gone, the FBI couldn't find with a warrant tonight, are the people that could never have dreamed that they'd be involved in or be where they are tonight. They thought they had a handle on it. They thought they had it all figured out. That book said before honor is humility. Let me tell you something. You can get doing so good, you get self-righteous. You want to have a good day? You keep your confidence in Jesus Christ. I'm trying to help you tonight. That's what helps me. It says in Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. I hope you have an anchor for your soul tonight. Amen. Because when everything else in the world is coming apart, at least you can maintain your confidence in Jesus Christ. And by the way, I've experienced this. Many of you have. The greatest source of confidence there is, it helps me on a day-to-day basis in this crazy world. The greatest source of confidence I ever would have imagined is settling the issue of where your soul is going to spend eternity. When I got saved, man, not only did peace come, but there was a weight that was lifted, knowing I wasn't going to hell. Amen. And boy, I tell you, I know I'm simple-minded and everything, but I can't think of a more important thing to have settled than that. And if the Lord can take care of that, seems like he'd be a pretty good place to go for every other problem you have. Amen. All right. I'm not done yet either. So verse 15. Now look what it says. Now it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Let's stop right there for a second. And the Bible formula calls for consecration. Consecration. Now that word means this: to appropriate to sacred use, to set apart, dedicate, or devote to the service and worship of God. Now that's Old Testament word. But there's a New Testament word, and it's sanctification. Say, what's it mean? It means the same thing. It means to set apart. And that verse begins with these words: but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. You want to have a good day? Bad when the sound guy's leaving, man. Oh, you won't be able to hear me now. All right. Set God apart in your heart. What's that mean? That means make sure he's on the throne. Amen. First great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. Amen. And I'm not going to say, I'm not asking if you're saved. I'm not asking if you drink, smoke, cuss. I'm asking you who's on the throne of your life. Amen. Who's in charge right now? We fit God into our busy schedule. Amen? I'm asking you tonight to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That means examine right now who's in charge of your life. You want to have a good day? You might be pretty slick, but I'm going to tell you what. His ways are better than your ways. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And he says, that means set apart. It means set yourself apart, too. You need to set yourself apart to the service and worship of God. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:4 that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And Paul gave this to Timothy in the second letter there, second epistle, chapter 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these. Now the context there is profane and vain babblings and foolish and unlearned questions. That's the these he's talking about. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now that thing right there, that word meet means appropriate. And that thing, that meet for the master's use, has got a ring to it that's pretty, pretty amazing, pretty special to me. And here's how I look at it. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, where Paul said in verse 13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and reaching forth unto that which is before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, he's not talking about a degree. He's not talking about a title. He's not talking about a position. He's not talking about a ministry when he talks about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what I think he's talking about? I'll tell you what I think it means, what it means to me. He's talking about being a vessel, meet for the master's use, that the Lord would use any of us for anything. Amen? Isn't that? I mean, what is it you think is going to get a well done, thou good and faithful servant? Amen? If you're not a vessel, meet for the master's use, that means he's calling the shots. Amen? That means he's directing the show. We call on him to, you know, I mean, we got most of this under control. When that went down, I don't even know. But, you know, if anything hard comes along, we'll, in all our ways, acknowledge him. Well, that's a lot for me. Meet for the master's use. Sanctified. Listen, if you will sanctify the Lord God in your heart, then read the rest of the verse. Verse 15, you will be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If he's got his place where it should be in your life, if consecration as a child of God is part of your testimony, boy, God can use you. Amen. And if you think you got it all figured out, he'll use somebody like me. He'll use some old convict. Amen. All right. Here's what I say last of all. See, I told you. Verse 16. Talking about having a good day. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Amen. Last of all, it has to do with conscience. It says having a good conscience. Now, I know something about a guilty conscience, because I've been guilty of a lot of things. And when you're looking over your shoulder, I was one thing looking over my shoulder for cops, SWAT teams, and feds. But looking over your shoulder as a child of God, wondering when you're going to reap what you sow. Let me tell you something. That doesn't make for a good day. There's no peace in that. Amen. And some of us are bound and determined, amen, to push the envelope. Let me tell you something. You want to have a good day? You need to get whatever it is. You know what the thing about a meeting like this? Now, maybe, you know, if you're serious and do business with God for a few days, maybe by, you know, a couple days into it, you're going to say like David, hey, search me and know my heart. Maybe you can say that after you've done some searching of your own. But people come to church like, all right, let's see what you got. Bless me if you can. Show me something. And let me tell you what, that kind of attitude right there. Amen. I can't do it, but the Lord can. And you need to be sensitive to him. And what does that mean? That means if there's things going on in your life, some people come to revival and they're like worried that the preacher is going to hit the nail on the head. Yeah. And if he doesn't, if a message goes through and your little pet sin or whatever it is doesn't get hammered, you think you made it. Really? What kind of Christianity is that? Christianity that I'm talking about. I'm talking about having a good day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. A day where we have peace with God. Here's what that means. If you're struggling with something, hey, I get it. This isn't magic. But if you're struggling with something, get the thing right with God. Go to God. Say, well, it's hard. Okay, then get him in on it. The Bible said, if we confess our sins. It doesn't say if we have any, because we got them. And if you think you don't need any help from the Lord this week, boy, you're in bigger trouble than you think. Because we all need help, because the Bible says our help cometh from the Lord. Amen? If you're as spiritual as you think you are, the two rows behind you would be full of lost sinners. Amen. You'd be beating the bushes, bringing them in. But we think doing good and being spiritual is just hanging on by the skin of our teeth. Maybe we should examine ourselves and see if there's anything that needs to be dealt with and then deal with it. And you know what else then? You know what happens then? Then you might have to, this is hard, go to someone else and say, brother, I want to be right with God. And I said this, or I thought this, or maybe you had this. Go to someone and get right with them. The devil hates it when Christians do like it says in Matthew 18 and just get right, get things worked out. Amen. I don't know what's going on. It doesn't matter. But I know this. Good days are better than bad ones. Good days are better than average mundane ones. Amen. Lord's moving. Lord's doing things. People's lives, and I like seeing it, and I like it when he moves in my life. I'll tell you one of the ways he moves in my life. When I'm not as right with God as I ought to be, he convicts me. Boy, I thank him for that. I don't like it, but I thank him for it, because that's what tells me this is real. That's what the difference between religion and turning over new leaves and programs and Bible Christianity is. This is real. So if the Lord dealt with you in your heart about anything, respond, and you'll have a better day. And you can leave with a cleaner conscience than you came in. Say, well, I'm doing pretty good. Praise the Lord. You can leave with a cleaner conscience than you came in with. It says, "Good that he may be, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." 1 Peter 1 and verse 15 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy." I know, starting to hear Twilight Zone music when you see that stuff. But it finishes with these words, "in all manner of conversation." Amen. For he that will love life, let's face it, we got it better than we deserve, no matter what. If you're saved, come on. It's going to get a lot better, no matter what happens between here and the end. And but between now and the end, I prefer good days. Now, the Bible said, you trust me, and you won't go to hell, but you will catch the blues every day between now and your last breath. Would it still be worth it to get saved? Wouldn't it? I mean, it's like not a trick question, because this little, what is your life, man? I mean, no matter what. If you had a miserable life every day for 50 years and went to heaven for eternity, I mean, come on, weigh it out. But that's not, he gives you what we need to have a good day. Amen. That's my vote. Amen. How about you? Good day. Good day is one thing. Good eternity is even more important than that. Do business with God. Judgment seat of Christ will go better. Get saved. If you're not saved, you'll miss that judgment where the Lord says, "Depart from me, I never knew ye." An everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what's in store for the best person in the world who dies without the forgiveness that Christ went to the cross and purchased at such a cost. We need to be reminded. Amen. The Bible reminds us, Paul, over and over in his epistles, repeats a lot of the same things. They say, well, he wrote that epistle to that church, and that epistle to that church, and that epistle to that church, and they didn't read each other's mail, so he had to say, but the Holy Spirit put it in this book, and if we'll have a relationship with this book we're supposed to have, we're seeing some of this stuff over and over because we need it over and over. Because if we could learn how to have a good day in the Lord, give the Lord the glory, we'd make more of an impact on this lost and dying world. And if people are going to die and go to hell, and they are, most of them, and they are, and it's not God's fault. He's not willing that, and I don't want it to be my fault either. But let them go in spite of our best efforts. Amen. Let no man accuse us when it's over and say, they never told me, or they lived just like I did. Amen. That's not a good day here. It won't be good over there. Let's do business with the Lord. Let's all stand. I'm going to stop rambling now. And do business with God. And the preacher's going to come, and however you do it. But, you know, the altar's open. You know what to do. Let's get real. Amen.
That should be plainly evident what...